How to Become Fishers of Men. This message was first preached by Charles Haddon Spurgeon on June 20th in the year 1886. The text for our message today comes from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." When Christ calls us by His grace, we must not only remember what we are, but we must also think of who Jesus can make us into. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you. I will make you." We must repent of what we have been and rejoice in what we may become. It is not "follow me because of what you already are." It is not "follow me because you may make something of yourselves," but rather "follow me because of what I will make you into." Truly, I say to each one of us, as soon as we are converted, what we will be has not yet been made known. It did not seem a likely thing that lowly fishermen would develop into apostles, that men so skillful with the fishing net would be quite as much at home in preaching sermons and instructing converts. One might have said, "How can these things be? You cannot make church planters out of Galilean peasants." Yet that is exactly what Christ did. And when we are humbled in the sight of God by a sense of our own unworthiness, we can still feel encouraged to follow Jesus because of what He can make us into. We cannot know what God will make of us as new creations. Who could have imagined all the created beauty that came from darkness and chaos by that one command, "Let there be light"? Likewise, who can tell what beautiful things can appear from a person's previous dark life of sin when God's grace has said to them, "Let there be light"? Oh, you who currently see in yourselves nothing that is desirable, come and follow Christ for the sake of what He can make out of you. Don't you hear His sweet voice calling to you and saying, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men"? Now we need to note that when we were first fished for and caught by the Lord, we were still not made into everything that we will be, nor everything that we would desire to be. We are like the fish swimming in a sea of sin, and the merciful Lord comes, and with the gospel net He catches us and delivers us from the life and the love of sin. But He is still not done with us, for He has not done all that He can do, nor all that we would wish Him to do, for there is another and a greater miracle, which is to make us who were fish to become fishermen, to make the saved ones saviors, to make the convert into a converter, to make the receiver of the gospel into a communicator of that same gospel to other people. I think I can say to every one of you, if you are already saved, the work is only half done until you are active in bringing others to Christ. You are so far only half formed into the image of our Lord. You have not yet attained to the full development of the Christ-like life in you unless you have begun in some feeble way to tell others of the grace of God. And I trust that you will find no rest until you have been the means of leading many to our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. His word is, "Follow me." Not merely that you may be saved, nor even that you may be sanctified, but "follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." We must be following Christ with that one objective, and fear that we are not perfectly following Him unless to some degree He is making use of us to be fishers of men. The fact is that every one of us must be about the business of catching men and women for Christ. If Christ has caught us, we must catch others. If we have been apprehended by Him, we must be His sheriffs, to apprehend rebels for Him. Let us ask Christ to give us grace to go fishing and to have the ability to throw our nets that we may capture a great multitude of fish. Oh, that the Holy Spirit may raise up from among us some master fishermen who will sail their boats into many waters and surround great schools of fish. My teaching today will be very simple, and hopefully it will be very practical. For my longing is that none of you who truly love the Lord would be reluctant to fish for Him. Oh, may it be that every member of this church and all the true Christians that hear or read this sermon are successful in winning the lost for Christ. The fact is, the day that we live in is very dark and wicked. Today, many men and women are fearful of what storms may soon shake this city and the whole social fabric of this land, even to the breakup of our society. Now, if never before, every true Christian must show its light. You, with the tiniest candle, must take it out from under the bushel and set it on a candlestick where it can be seen. Lot was a very shameful believer, but still, he might have been a great blessing to Sodom if he had only pleaded to God for the people there, as he should have done. And the weak Christians of our day, which I fear are many, need to be prayed for, because we need every one of these truly converted souls in these evil days. Oh, let us pray that each one of them may glorify the Lord. I pray that every true Christian, irritated as they are with the words and actions of the wicked of our day, that they may be more persistent in prayer than they have ever been before. That they draw near to God, that they might be a blessing to the people perishing all around them. I ask you to dwell on these thoughts. Oh, that the Spirit of God may make each one of you feel your personal responsibility to follow Jesus and become fishers of men. So today, I want all true believers to focus on three major points from our text. First, there is something for believers to do. There is something for believers to do. And that is to follow Jesus. Jesus said, "Follow me." Secondly, there is something to be done by our great Lord and Master. Something to be done by our great Lord and Master. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. You will not grow into fishermen by yourselves, but this is what Jesus will do for you if you will just follow him. Thirdly, we are given a good illustration from Jesus. We are given a good illustration from Jesus. For he often spoke to the people in parables. He presents us with an illustration of what Christians should be, fishers of men. First, I take it for granted that every true believer wants to be useful to Jesus. If they do not, then I would question whether they are a true believer in Christ at all. Well, if you want to really be useful, here is something for you to do. Follow Jesus, and he will make you fishers of men. A young man once asked, "What is the best way to become an effective preacher?" One person answered him, "Go to seminary." But Christ says, "Young man, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." Another asked, "How is a person to be useful? By attending a training class?" Well, that's true, but there is a much better answer than that. Follow Jesus, and he will make you fishers of men. The great training school for Christian workers has Christ as its teacher, and yet not only as a teacher, but as a leader. We are not only to learn from him in study, but to follow him in action. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men and women. The direction is very clear, and I believe that it is exclusive, so that no one can become a fisherman of souls by any other process. This process is very simple and most effective. The Lord Jesus Christ, who knew all about fishing for men and women, says, "Follow me if you want to be fishers of men." In other words, if you want to be useful, follow in my steps. And there are 5 steps we must take to become fishers of men. The first step that we must take to become fishers of men is to be separated to Christ. Be separated to Christ. The 12 disciples were to leave their occupations, were to leave their companions, were to leave the world, that their one business might be to become fishers of men. We are all not called to leave our daily business or to leave our families. That might actually be running away from the fishing ground rather than working at it in Christ's name. But we are most definitely called to come out from among the ungodly and to be separate. We cannot become fishers of men if we remain among men in the same element of sin with them. Fish cannot be fishermen. The sinner cannot convert the sinner. The ungodly man cannot convert the ungodly man. And more to the point, the worldly Christian cannot convert the world. If you are of the world, no doubt the world will love you as its own. But you cannot save the world. If you walk in darkness and belong to the kingdom of darkness, you cannot remove the darkness. If you march with the armies of the wicked one, you cannot defeat them. I personally believe that one reason why the Church of the Living God at this present time has so little influence over the world is because the world has so much influence over the church. Today we hear nominal and liberal so-called Christians insisting that they have the freedom to do this and that. They claim that they can live like the world and still go to heaven. My answer to them is, if you were God's children, then you would hate the very thought of the world's evil system and pleasures. And your question should not be, how much can we be like the world? Rather, how far can we get away from the world? How much can we come out of it? Your desire should be to become very strict in your separation from sin. Brothers and sisters, the purpose of the church in the world is that it would be like salt in the midst of a decaying society. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, what good is it? For then it would only increase and deepen the overall decay that has taken place. Your duty as a Christian is to stand firm and stand out for Christ, hating even the clothing stained by the corrupted flesh, resolving, like one of our forefathers said, "Let others do as they will, but as for us and our household, we will serve the Lord." Come, true children of God, you must stand with your Lord in this wicked world. Jesus calls to you today and simply says, "Follow me." Was Jesus found at the theater? Did he frequent the sporting events or the racetracks? Do you think that Jesus was seen in any of the places of amusement and entertainment of the elite of his day? No, he was not. He was holy, innocent, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Yet in one sense, no one mixed with sinners so much as he did, when like a physician, he went among them healing his patients. But in another sense, there was a great gulf fixed between men and women of the world and the Savior, which he never attempted to cross and which they could not cross to defile him. So the first step the true Christian must take is this: be separated to Christ, follow Jesus and not the world, and he will make you fishers of men and women. But unless you take up your cross and speak against this ungodly world, you cannot hope that Jesus will make you fishers of men. Now the second step that we as believers must take to become fishers of men is this: to live with Christ every day. To live with Christ every day. And then we will be made fishers of men. The first 12 disciples whom Christ called were to come and live with him. They were to accompany him every day. They were to listen to him publicly preach the eternal gospel. And in addition, they were to receive special explanations in private of the word which he had just spoken. They were to be his personal servants and close friends. They were to watch his miracles and listen to his prayers, and better still, they were to be with him and become one with him in his holy work. They sat at the table and ate with him, and even had their feet washed by him. They were with him in his sufferings and persecutions. They witnessed his secret agonies. They saw his many tears. They noted the passion and the compassion of his soul, and thus in time they caught his spirit, and so they learned to be fishers of men. At the feet of Jesus, we must learn the art of soul winning. To live with Christ is the best education for effectiveness. It is a great advantage for any Christian to be associated with a godly Christian whose heart is on fire for the Lord. The best training for a young man is that which a group of pastors in the 17th century practiced, in which each elderly pastor had a young man with him, who walked with him whenever he went up on the mountainside to preach. And he lived in the same house with him, and listened to his prayers, and observed his daily holiness. For sure, this was great training. But it will not compare with that of the apostles, who lived with Jesus himself, and were his daily companions. The training of the 12 was unmatched. No wonder that they became what they were, with such a heavenly teacher to saturate them with his own spirit. But today, Jesus' bodily presence is not among us, but his spiritual power is perhaps more fully known to us than it was to those apostles. Now there are some of us to whom Christ is intimately near. We know more about him than we do about our closest earthly friends. We have never been quite able to totally understand our close friend's heart in all of its twists and turns, but we know the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a sense, we have rested our head upon his chest and have enjoyed fellowship with him, such as we could never have had with any of our close friends and relatives. This is the surest way of learning how to do good. Live with Jesus, follow Jesus, and he will make you fishers of men. Watch how Jesus does the work, and therefore learn how to do it yourself. A Christian should be an apprentice to Jesus and learn the skill of a Savior. We can learn how to save men and women by warning them to flee from the wrath to come, and setting before them the one great effective remedy. Watch how Jesus saves, and you will learn how it is done. You cannot learn it in any other way. Live in fellowship with Christ, and people will notice that you have a certain demeanor about yourself that seems to make you very capable to teach and to win souls. Now, the third step that we must take to become fishers of men is implied in his command to us, "Follow me." And it is this: obey me. Obey me. Then you will know what to do to save men and women. We must not talk about our fellowship with Christ or our being separated from the world to him unless we make him our master and Lord in absolutely everything. Some preachers are not true to all their convictions, so how can they be looking for a blessing? A Christian who wants to be useful to the Lord must be meticulous to every point of obedience to his master. I have no doubt whatever that God blesses our churches even when they are somewhat flawed, for his mercy endures forever. When there is a small amount of error in the teaching and a small amount of mistake in the practice, he may still consent to use the ministry, for he is so very gracious. But a great amount of blessing must certainly be withheld from all teaching which is knowingly or glaringly false. God can set his seal upon the truth that is in the message, but he cannot and will not set his seal upon the error that is in it. If we desire, as fishers of men and women, to be greatly used of God, we must copy our Lord Jesus in everything. and seek to obey Him on every point. Failure in obedience to Jesus may lead to failure in our witnessing and ministry. Each one of us, if we wish to see our children saved, or our Sunday school class blessed, or our congregation converted, must be careful that we are a clean instrument of the Lord. Anything we do that grieves the Holy Spirit will take away from us some part of our power to do good. The Lord is very gracious and compassionate, but He still is a jealous God. He is seriously concerned towards His people who knowingly neglect obedience to His commands. Therefore, He will obstruct their work, weaken their strength, and humble them until they finally say, "My Lord, I will follow You after all. I will do what You called me to do, for I know that You will not accept my disobedience." Now we must get back to apostolic practice and to apostolic teaching. We must lay aside the commandments of men and the impulses of our own mind, for we must absolutely do what Christ tells us to do, just as Christ tells us to do it, and because Christ tells us to do it. We must absolutely take the place of slaves in obedience to their master. And if we will not do that, we cannot expect our Lord to work with us and through us. Let us be determined that, as true as the compass needle points to the North Pole, so true we must be to the commands of our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." By this teaching, He seems to say, if you go ahead of me or fall back behind me, and you throw your net, you will catch nothing. However, when you do exactly as I have commanded you, you will throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a great catch. The fourth step that we must take to become fishers of men is to make sure that we must never preach or teach our own thoughts, but only preach and teach the thoughts of Christ. We must never preach or teach our own thoughts, but only preach and teach the thoughts of Christ. The disciples were to follow Christ that they might listen to Him, hear what He had to say, drink in His teaching, and then go and preach and teach what He had taught them. The Lord says, "What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the housetops." If they will be faithful messengers of Christ's message, He will make them fishers of men. But sadly, you know the proud method nowadays is this: "I am not going to preach this old, old gospel, this musty old Puritan doctrine. I will sit down in my study and invent a new theory. And then I will come out with my brand new thought and blaze away with it." Many are not following Christ, but following themselves. And of them the Lord may well say, "You will see whose word will stand, mine or theirs." Others are wickedly discreet and judge that certain truths, which are clearly God's word, had better be kept back. They say, "You must not be harsh, but you must preach friendly things. To talk about the punishment of sin, to speak of eternal punishment, why, these are unfashionable doctrines." It may be that they are taught in the Word of God, but they do not suit the intellect of this age. We must trim them down. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, I will have no part of their wickedness. Will you? Our enlightened age believes that they have discovered certain things not taught in the Bible. Evolution is clearly contrary to the teaching of the book of Genesis, but that doesn't matter to them. They are not going to be believers of Scripture, rather they become original thinkers. This is the arrogant ambition of the age we live in. And note this: in proportion as the modern theology is preached, the depravity of their generation will increase. To a great degree, I attribute the wickedness of our age to the carelessness of the doctrines preached by its teachers. From the pulpit, they have taught people that sin is a small thing. From the pulpit, these traitors to God and to His Christ have taught the people that there is no hell to be feared. Well, they say, maybe a little hell, maybe a little hell, perhaps. But eternal torment for sin is not declared. The precious atoning sacrifice of Christ has been mocked at and misrepresented by those who have pledged to preach it. They have given the people something that is called a gospel, but the gospel itself has been emptied of its power. From hundreds of pulpits, the gospel has disappeared. And still the preachers take the position and name of Christ's ministers. Well, and what comes of it? Why, their congregations grow thinner and thinner, and so it must be. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. But if you go your own way with your own net, you will find nothing." The Lord's directions make him our leader and example. It is, follow me, preach my gospel, preach what I preach, teach what I taught, and keep to that. Do this, and he will make you fishers of men. But if you do not do this, you will fish in vain. I close this part of my sermon by saying that we will not become fishers of men unless we follow Christ in one other respect. Step 5, by endeavoring in every part of our lives to imitate the holiness of Christ. By endeavoring in every part of our lives to imitate the holiness of Christ. Holiness is the greatest real power that can be possessed by men and women. We may preach and teach the truth, but we must also live the truth. God forbid that we should preach anything else, for it will all be in vain unless there is a life at the back of the testimony. An unholy preacher or teacher may even render the truth distasteful. In proportion as any of us draw back from living a zealous, sanctified life, we will draw back from the place of power. Our power lies in this word, follow me, be like Jesus. In all things, endeavor to think and speak and act as Jesus did, and he will make you fishers of men. This will require self-denial. We must daily take up the cross. This may require willingness to give up our reputation, readiness to be thought fools and the like, as men are apt to call those who are walking close to Jesus Christ. There must also be the resisting of everything that looks like honor and personal glory in order that we completely glorify only His name. We must live His life and be ready to die His death if need be. Oh, my brothers and sisters, if we do this and follow Jesus, putting our feet into the footprints of His pierced feet, He will make us fishers of men. If it should please Him that we should even die without having gathered many souls to the cross, we will speak from our graves. The Lord will make a holy life to be an influential life. It is not possible that a life which can be described as following Christ would ever be an unsuccessful one in the sight of the Most High God. So, our first major point showed us that there is something we believers have to do. We are called to follow Jesus. Now we come to our second major point today, which is that there is something for the Lord to do. There is something for the Lord to do. First, when his servants are following him, he says, I will make you fishers of men. And let it never be forgotten that it is Christ that makes us follow him. It is Christ that makes us follow him. Following Christ is a requirement to being made a fisher of men. Yet know this, Christ gives us the ability to follow him. Christ gives us the ability to follow him. It is all of His Spirit. I have talked before about receiving His Spirit and remaining in Him and obeying Him and listening to Him and copying Him. But none of these things are we capable of apart from His working them in us. God's Word tells us in the book of Hosea, chapter 14, "Your fruitfulness comes from me. Your fruitfulness comes from me." And that scripture is one we must never forget. So then, when we do follow Christ, it is He that makes us follow Him. He makes us fishers of men. But further, when we follow Christ, He will make us fishers of men using all of our experiences. When we follow Christ, He will make us fishers of men using all of our experiences. I am sure that the man who is really consecrated to bless others will be helped in this by all that he feels, especially by his afflictions. I often feel very grateful to God that I have undergone fearful spiritual depression. I know the borders of despair and the horrible brink of that gulf of darkness into which my feet have almost gone. Thus, hundreds of times, I have been able to give a helpful grip to brothers and sisters who have come into that same condition, which grip I could never have given if I had not known their deep depression. So I believe that the darkest and most dreadful experiences of a child of God will help them to be a fisher of men, if they will but just follow Christ. Keep close to your Lord, and He will make every step a blessing to you. If God in His providence should make you rich, He will allow you to speak to those foolish and wicked rich people who abound in this city and so often are the cause of its worst sin. And if the Lord is pleased to let you be very poor, then you could go down and talk to those wicked and foolish poor people who also are so often the cause of sin in this city and who greatly need the gospel. The winds of providence will move you to where you can fish for men and women. The wheels of providence are full of eyes, and those eyes will guide us in the way we should go, to help us to be winners of souls. You will often be surprised to find how God has been in a house that you visit before you get there. His hand has been at work in its rooms. When you wish to speak to some particular individual, God's providence has been dealing with that individual to make him ready for just the word which you could say and which nobody else but you could say. Oh, keep following Christ, and you will find that He will, through every experience through which you are passing, make you fishers of men and women. Further than that, if you will follow Christ, He will make you fishers of men by distinct messages in your own heart. He will make you fishers of men by distinct messages in your own heart. When the Christian heart is right with God and living in communion with Christ, we feel a sacred sensitivity so that we don't need the Lord to shout, but His softest whisper is heard. No, He doesn't even have to whisper, and yet we will hear Him. The Christian who follows his Lord will be tenderly guided. I do not say that the Spirit of God will say to you, "Go to that chariot," or that you will hear a word in your ear, but yet in your soul, as distinctly as the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it," you will hear the Lord's will. As soon as you see an individual, the thought will cross your mind, "Go and speak to that person." Every opportunity of usefulness will be a call to you. If you are ready, the door will open before you, and you will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." If you have the grace to run in the right way, you will never have to wait long to receive a feeling as to what the right way is. The right way will lead you to river or sea where you can throw in your net and be a fisher of men. In addition, I believe what the Lord meant by His command to follow me was that He would give His followers the Holy Spirit. that he would give his followers the Holy Spirit. They were to follow him, to become fishers of men and women. And then, right before Jesus ascended into the clouds of heaven, he told his disciples, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city of Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high." Jesus then ascended to his Father, and a short time later, we see the power of the Holy Spirit working in Peter. For after the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples, Peter began preaching to the crowds, and the result was that those who accepted his message were saved, then baptized, and Scripture tells us that about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Peter had become one of the first fishers of men, and his net was abundantly filled with new believers in Jesus Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, we have no conception of what God could do through the true believers gathered in our church today. Right now, all of us who are truly saved and filled with the Holy Spirit would be enough to evangelize this entire city. Let us seek a blessing, and if we seek it, let us listen for his guiding voice. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. All of you that sit before me today are sitting by the shore of a great sea of human life, swarming with the souls of men and women. You live in the midst of millions, and if you will just follow Jesus and be faithful to him and true to him and do what he commands you to do, he will make you fishers of men. Do not say, "Who will save this city? The weakest will be strong enough." Samson, finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, grabbed it and struck down 1,000 Philistines. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Let the shock of the prevailing sins of our land make you look into the face of our dear Master, who long ago wept over Jerusalem and now weeps over our cities. Take hold of Christ and never let him go. By the strong and mighty impulses of the divine life within you, quickened and brought to maturity by the Holy Spirit of God, teaches you this lesson from your Lord's own mouth. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You are not fit for such a task, but he will make you fit. You cannot do it by yourselves, but he will make you do it. You do not know how to spread the nets and draw schools of fish to shore, but he will teach you. Only follow him, and he will make you fishers of men. Oh, I wish I could somehow say this with a voice of thunder, that the whole church of God on earth might hear it. I wish I could write it in stars across the sky. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." If you forget that decree, that command, then the promise will never be yours. If you follow some other track or imitate some other leader, you will fish in vain. Oh, God, grant us to fully believe that Jesus can do great things in us and then do great things by us for the good of all those around us. Now we come to our last major point for today, and that is, we are given an illustration full of instruction. We are given an illustration full of instruction. I will give you a few thoughts which you can use. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," which gives us a picture of what that would look like. You have been fishers of fish, but now, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. First thought, a fisherman is a person who is very dependent and needs to have faith. A fisherman is a person who is very dependent and needs to have faith. The fisherman cannot see the fish. One who fishes in the sea must go and throw in the net at an uncertain possibility. Fishing is an act of faith. I have often seen in the Mediterranean, men go out with their boats and enclose acres of sea with enormous nets. And yet when they have drawn their net to shore, they have less than a handful of fish. Yet they've gone again and thrown the great net several times a day, hopefully expecting something to come of it. Nobody is so dependent upon God as a soul winner of God. Oh, this fishing is a work of faith. We cannot know if lost souls will be brought to Christ by it. I cannot judge whether my gospel message will be suitable to the persons I seek to reach, but I do believe that God will guide me in the throwing of the net. I expect Him to work salvation by guiding lost fish into my net, and I depend upon Him for this. I love this complete dependence, for it is delightful to be entirely dependent upon Christ at all times. Oh, my friends, it is a blessed thing to be weak, for Christ then becomes our strength. Go to work, you who want to be fishers of men and women, and yet feel your inadequacy. You that have no strength, attempt this divine work. Your master's strength will be seen when your own strength is gone. A fisherman is a dependent person. He must look up to God for success every time he puts down the net. And as a person of faith, he joyfully throws in the net. A second thought. The fisherman who makes his living by fishing is a diligent and persevering man. The fisherman who makes his living by fishing is a diligent and persevering man. The fishermen are up at dawn. At daybreak, our fishermen are fishing, and they continue fishing until late in the afternoon. As long as their hands can work, fishermen will fish. May the Lord Jesus make us hard-working, persevering, unwearied fishers of men. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening time do not let your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that. And now a third thought. The skilled fisherman is intelligent and watchful. The skilled fisherman is intelligent and watchful. It looks very easy to be a fisherman, but you would find that it is no child's play if you would take a real part in it. There is an art in it, from the mending of the net right on to the pulling it to shore. How diligent the fisherman must be to prevent the fish from leaping out of the net. One night, I heard a great noise coming from the sea, as if a giant was beating some huge drum. And I looked out, and I saw that the fishermen were beating the water to drive the fish into the net, or to keep them from leaping out of it, while the net was being closed around them. Ah, yes, and you and I will often have to be watching the corners of the gospel net, lest sinners who are almost caught should make their escape. They are very crafty, these fish, and they use this craftiness in endeavoring to avoid salvation. We will have to be always at our business and to exercise all our faculties and more than our own intellects if we are to be successful fishers of men. A fourth thought. The fisherman is a very hard-working person. The fisherman is a very hard-working person. Being a fisherman is not an easy calling. He does not sit in an armchair and catch fish. He often must go out in harsh weather. If a farmer worries about the clouds, he will never sow. Likewise, a fisherman that worries about the clouds will never fish. If we never do any work for Christ, except when we feel up to it, then we will not do much. If we feel that we will not pray because we cannot pray, we will never pray. And if we say, I will not witness today because I do not feel that I could witness, then we will never witness any witnessing that is worth the witnessing. We must always be at it until we wear ourselves out, throwing our whole soul into the work in all circumstances for the glory of Christ. Now a fifth thought. The fisherman is a daring man. The fisherman is a daring man. He tempts the stormy sea. A little salt water in his face does not hurt him. He has been wet through 1,000 times. It is nothing to him. He never expected, when he became a deep-sea fisherman, that he was going to sleep in the lap of comfort. So the true soul winner of Christ, who fishes for souls, will never mind a little risk. He will be bound to do or say many a thing that is very unpopular, and some Christian people may even judge his words to be too severe. He must do and say that which is for the good of souls. It is not his to entertain a question as to what others will think of his doctrine or of him. But in the name of the Almighty God, he must feel, if the sea thunders and crashes, still at my master's command, I will let down the net. Now the last thought. The man whom Christ makes a fisher of men is successful. The man whom Christ makes a fisher of men is successful. But, one says, I've always heard that Christ's soul winners are to be faithful, but that they cannot be sure of being successful. Yes, I've heard that saying too, and in one way I know it is true. But in another way, I have my doubts about it. He that is faithful to follow Christ and is obedient to God's way to fish, then he will be, in God's judgment, successful. For instance, here is a fellow preacher who says that he is faithful. Of course, I must believe him. Yet I never heard of a sinner being saved under his ministry. Indeed, I would think that the safest place for a person to be in, if he did not want to be saved, would be under this gentleman's ministry, because he does not preach anything that is likely to arouse, impress, or convince anybody. This brother is faithful, so he says. So likewise, if any person in the world said to you, I am a fisherman, but I've never caught anything, you would wonder how he could be called a fisherman. A farmer who never grew any wheat or any other crop, is he a farmer? When Jesus Christ says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, he means that you will really catch men and women, that you really will save some. For he that never did catch any fish is not a fisherman. He that never saved a sinner after years of work is not a soul winner, nor a minister of Christ. If the result of his life work is nothing, then he made a mistake when he undertook it. Go with the fire of God in your hand and fling it among the straw, and the straw will burn. You can be sure of that. Go and scatter the good seed. It may not all fall in fertile places, but some of it will. You can be sure of that. Go and let your light shine, and someone's eye will see the light. You must, you will succeed. But remember, this is the Lord's word. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Keep close to Jesus, and do as Jesus did in his spirit, and he will make you fishers of men. Now, in conclusion, perhaps I speak to an attentive listener who is not converted at all. Friend, I have the same thing to say to you. You may also follow Christ, and then he can use you, even you. I don't know, but that he has brought you to this place today that you may be saved. And then in years to come, he may make you speak for his name and glory. Remember how he called Saul of Tarsus the greatest sinner that ever lived, past, present, and future. And Christ not only saved him, but made him the apostle to the Gentiles. Great sinners who are saved make the most capable soul winners and preachers. Oh, that you would run away from your old master, Satan, today, without giving him a minute's notice. For if you give him any notice, he will hold on to you. Rush to Jesus and say, here I am, a poor runaway slave. My Lord, I bear the shackles still on my wrist. Will you set me free and make me your own? Remember, it is written, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Never did a runaway slave come to Christ in the middle of the night without Jesus taking him in. If Jesus makes you free, you will be free indeed. Quickly, flee to Jesus. May the Holy Spirit help you, and He will in time make you a winner of others to His praise. God bless you. Amen. We trust you have been both blessed and enriched by what you've just heard. You have been listening to a great evangelical message from some of the greatest preachers from the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries. Obviously, audio recordings were not available in those centuries. So the message you just heard was preached by Tony Kaposia of the Gospel Gems online ministry. For more information about this ministry and to order audio sermons on CDs or download them in MP3 format, simply visit www.gospelgems.com. That is www.gospelgems.com. Thank you for your interest in Gospel Gems.